Okay, we were discussing scams a little earlier on, and we had that email from a listener who was scammed out of €10,000, broken-hearted as well. It was what's called a romance scam. And to help us get the message out even further on more of these of scams, we're joined by Father Colm O'Doherty from St. Patrick's Church in Lifford. Good morning to you, Father. Thanks for taking the time of your busy morning to chat to us.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning. Now, good morning, everybody.
You are relating this because you, is it you or your parishioners or both that have been targeted in this email scam?
One of the parishioners was contacted by the scam yesterday. I was only aware of it yesterday at tea time. And somebody else had contacted me to say they were suspicious of a scam that had come into them. My name was being used, and the thing was to do with gift cards, which appear to be from me, but I don't send out gift cards, and I would never ask people over the internet to make money or give money to me or to any cause. It would be announced at the church. So if there was going to be one, so it's just so difficult for people to sometimes, you know, this is how scammers work. Sometimes because I'm the priest in the parish, people think it is me. In fact, it's not. So you have to be very careful.
Yeah, this is actually even more worrying in a way than others, because they have the knowledge of and have gone to the bother to identify you as a trustworthy pillar of the community. Yeah. But also they seem to have been able to ascertain the contact details of people that are connected to you by way of being parishioners. So the Gardaí have a job to do here, because this could be someone with local knowledge as well as it could be an international organisation.
Well, it has been reported to the Gardaí, and I think they are aware that there seems to be a concerted effort by scammers in the Donegal area and I'm very sorry to hear about that story that you ran earlier on, about that person lost so much money. There is definitely something that needs to be, this is a new form of crime that is really becoming very, very prevalent, not just here in Donegal, of course, but everywhere. But unfortunately, we've been hit with it this time.
Okay, so the message is that ignore any emails that purport to be from Father Colm O'Doherty. And I would imagine any other parish priest where they're looking for things, you want to double check, because it seems it would be unusual, wouldn't it, Father, for the local parish priest to be making contact like this, seeking gift cards or what have you.
That's
gifts.
Correct. Absolutely. This is not official at all. And I just would ask parishioners to be very careful if they're very concerned with anything. If they send out an email concerning business with the parish, that they would contact me first to check it as bona fide, but never be asking for money on an email. Absolutely not.
Okay, listen, thanks for your time this morning to help us get that message
out. You're very welcome.
I appreciate it,
Greg.
Father. Thank you. And God bless you. Father Colm O'Doherty there. So please ignore any contacts from him via email seeking gifts or gift cards. And as I say, it's particularly unusual because someone had to obviously identify Father Colm as someone in the area, but also how then did they manage to get hold of parishioners' emails so that they might trust where that information were coming from? It's concerning that. Right, okay. Some of your comments here. Is it true that electric companies are claiming 100 renewable energy usage when they are not? Should they be sanctioned for these false claims? There is one company that was claiming that its electricity was 100% renewable, and they are being investigated for it. So that's exactly what is happening there. So you are correct. You are correct. But some action is being taken in that regard, we're being told. What are the changes has wind farms made in relation to having turbines on bogland and causes damage such as mean bog? Wind energy is developer driven for investors, enterprise to satisfy shareholders. Another here, people rant year after year about politicians going abroad for St. Patrick's Day. It appears this year they think we're capable of looking after ourselves as they are all off. It costs $2,300 to send shamrocks to America for something realistically after the photo op, and it's thrown into the trash can. But their argument is made that it's access to the White House that no other country has. That's the argument that's made. They go on to say, though, have we now all become so immune to this behaviour that we no longer care? Instead of this government listening to its people and its thoughts, it's doubled down and gone full tilt. Okay. I wonder, can Sheila Campbell, CEO of Heart Children, hear me? Are you there, Sheila?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And it's good to have you with us, because our Wellness Wednesday is our conversation now with Sheila Campbell. We're talking about Global Congenital Heart Disease Awareness Month. So talk to us a little bit about it, Sheila.
Okay, so maybe I'll bring it right back to the beginning, Greg, and just explain what congenital heart disease is, because possibly many of your listeners won't be aware of that. So congenital means present at birth, and congenital heart disease is a condition that arises because when a mother is pregnant, her baby's heart does not develop properly during pregnancy. And so that can result in like poor structure, problems with the valves. And it's important to mention that it's an irreparable condition. There are some mild forms of the disease, such as holds of the heart, which are repairable and generally, things that are able to be fixed, and then the child can get on with the rest of their life. But the more complex forms are irreparable and will need constant surgeries throughout the child's life.
Yeah, and you talk about some that are repairable now. That's advances in medicine. There are people, I'm sure, listening who've lost children with a hole in the heart some time ago when the technology or the people weren't there, the knowledge wasn't there to address that, as it is almost like a matter of course now.
Yeah, there's been huge advances, and that means, that's really impacted on the survival rates of children into adulthood. So 90% of all children born with congenital heart disease now survive into adulthood. So, all those advances are happening, as we speak. And so into the future, that figure will continue to rise.
Now, obviously, when a child is born, there are initial checks, and perhaps it's not, obvious from the beginning that there is a congenital heart condition. Is that the case? I mean, how often is it not picked up until later in the child's life?
That can happen, but again, we're speaking about medical advances, and because of advances in scanning technology, 70% of all babies now are picked up at the 20-week scan. So there may be mums listening to you, or expectant mums listening here today, who might already have had a diagnosis and are fully knowing that their child will be born with congenital heart disease. That's positive because it gives them time to prepare and the medical team to prepare. But then there's another 30%, obviously, who are receiving the news at birth. And so it could be that the diagnosis is given a couple of days after birth, or they might be able to recognize the signs. A lot of babies might have a blue colorization cyanosis because of lack of oxygen in the blood. And that's obviously something they'd pick up straight away. But in other cases, it can be a couple of days. It can be a couple of months. And sometimes it can be a couple of years. It can go undetected.
Yeah. And there are obviously other heart conditions that may become more apparent later in life that might not be classed as congenital heart disease. Is that a fair enough assessment?
Yeah, I mean, there can be conditions, or there can be people who die suddenly, and it can be actually put down to undiagnosed congenital heart disease later in life. Yeah. And I mean, I think the important thing is to say is that obviously, these children and their families are living with a lifelong condition, and with that comes a lot of stress and anxiety. These children could be facing multiple surgeries throughout their life, and that has the impact of trauma, and for everybody in the family, post-traumatic stress disorder can be an issue as well. So what Heart Children do, and what we're here to do and support, I would always say that the care that the children are receiving in Crumlin is fantastic. There's huge funding because there's a structure called the All Ireland Network. So after the Good Friday Agreement, there was a multi-jurisdiction put in place whereby all children from Northern Ireland are actually operated on in Dublin. So there's a lot of funding and a lot of, attention goes into the service in the Children's Heart Centre in Crumlin to make it a world-class centre, which it is. However, when they leave hospital, that's when sometimes the issues can arise. A couple of weeks after, the immediate care is over and mum and dad are feeling, the effects of the stress of the situation, and obviously their children as well, and the other siblings in the family. I mean, so it's the effects can be felt by the whole family of having a child with CHD.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit more by way of this conference that's coming. But I want to mention, obviously, as you mentioned there, you know, the majority of these cases are identified at the 20-week scan, and that 90% of children born with the condition now survive into adulthood. But 500 to 600 babies per year are born in Ireland with the most common form of congenital heart disease. So there are a lot of people, and thankfully alive today, that are affected by this conversation. And then, of course, their families, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's 19,000 people in this country living with congenital heart disease. And I guess, you know, a lot of people will know the word heart disease, but the congenital part makes it a completely different, you know, diagnosis, and the understanding, you know, that people would have around heart disease is totally different for congenital heart disease. It is obviously something that's, you know, it can be random. There's no definitive understanding of how any one child would develop the condition. So, you know, there can be a genetic link, but also it can be a completely random happen chance within a family unit. And so, you know, it is something that the whole family is living with when it occurs.
And I suppose, too, you do live with it. And I wonder, Arthur, how common is it that parents and guardians out there maybe don't recognise the emotional stress on a younger person with this? You know, people, we always talk about how brave young people are, and they are, don't get me wrong, I'm not questioning that for a moment, but maybe they're putting the sunny side out, so to speak. Do we need, if we have a child affected by CHD in our life, do we need to make sure we know they're okay and they're not suffering mentally in silence?
Yes, absolutely we do. I think it's hugely important. I think, you know, one of our most used services, the family support service, and that's the service of a clinical psychologist. And for many young people, you know, I think when they're getting into the teenage years, you know, all the things and the rites of passage that teenagers do, the, you know, having relationships, socializing, all these things are questionable for when you, you know, possibly have a congenital heart disease. And all of that, and possibly, you know, making yourself be different. Most teenagers want to be the same, you know, they all want to be the same as everybody else. And sometimes having a condition like this will mark you out as being a little bit different. And, you know, sometimes what they do need is just somebody to talk to, I suppose, and unburden themselves to. And that's what they're able to do through the clinical support that we offer, psychological support service.
Talk to me about the conference that's coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, there's fantastic care in the paediatric service in the Children's Heart Centre in Crumlin. But that care ends when the child is 16 and they transition to the adult CHD centre in the Mater Hospital. So they go from the very protective bubble of being in a children's hospital where, you know, they've grown up knowing all the clinicians and the staff to, you know, arriving into the Mater Hospital, which is a general hospital, you know, with the great unwashed of the public. And, you know, it's a big changeover. It's at a time in their life when there's many issues. And what we're trying to do at the conference is to address some of the practical issues that they need to understand about making the move. They're also now taking over the care of their own condition. So mum and dad are no longer attending the appointments with them. They need to understand the terminology. And they need to be able to take and ingest the advice that they're given and really take control of their own health and manage their own health. So it's to, you know, in part that that's important. It's something that they need to attend to. And also it's to give them coping mechanisms to understand that, you know, there is help out there and there are ways and means and other people who they can turn to for help and support.
The conference takes place in the Chartered Accountants House, Pier Street, Dublin 2. As I said, on Saturday, it runs from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Is it broadcast? I mean, as you can imagine, travelling from the northwest, either a very, very early start or a very expensive hotel stay on Friday night. Is this in any way sort of semi remote as well, or is it a complete in-person conference?
It's a complete in-person conference because we really felt the benefit of being able to get the young people together into one room where they could get the benefit of seeing, you know, 50 or 60 people at the same age that they are, you know, with the same condition, that I don't think it would have the same impact if they were watching online. And the same for their parents. So we have two different streams of programs for parents and for adolescents. So We really felt that the benefit would be had if people were there in person. That said, our keynote speaker is Dr. Lisa Morton, who is a counselling psychologist who's written a book about improving standards in CHD care and just coping mechanisms for adults. And we will be recording her session, and that will be available for people to view following the conference if anybody's not able to make it. And if anybody wants to inquire about attending, they can just email info@heartchildren.ie, or if they're interested in watching the video link when we have it, also maybe send us an email and we'll arrange to get it to them.
Okay, thank you very much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Sheila Campbell there, CEO of Heart Children. And I understand that, you know, Dublin is the centres of excellence and all of that, but I just wonder if a 10 a.m. start on a Saturday is going to exclude people here in Donegal, but I'm sure it's by accident rather than design. But anyway, hopefully there was some information in there that you found useful. A caller says it took me 43 years to find my congenital heart condition. So don't give up if you know something isn't right. Keep on it, which is good advice, generally speaking, about your health, I think. Often people are discharged or hear something from a GP or whatever, and it doesn't, you know, there's something else going on here. You know, I don't, but then they go, right, you know what? It's good news. I'm just going to listen to it. Trust yourself. You're normally right. A caller says, my son recently bought a car and was doing some work to it. It was up for NCT, so I took it for him. While driving to Donegal Town under the speed limit, I met a speed van, and after a few days, I got a letter to say it was fined €60 for no tax. Does anyone know, can a speed van do this? Can I appeal this as the car's not ready for the road yet? This is interesting. This is the second contact we've had from a listener who was done for no tax by a speed van. Now, obviously, you know, the law's the law and all that kind of stuff. But I find myself driving, well, maybe it would know, but I found myself driving with no tax disc because there was a delay in the tax disc. But I presume the system would be updated to say it was taxed. But if you get a new car, if you're waiting on the logbook, as it used to be called, you know, you could be driving legally with no tax, I think. And people are getting fines in the post from a speed van. I can't believe we haven't been informed of this. If it's the case, I've no doubt now, two listeners saying the same thing. How do you appeal it? Does that mean you have to go into court and appeal it? Or can you do it by post? It sounds like a court appearance to me, because you're going to contest it. Because, you know, you were taking the car to get NCT'd. And that has to be tested. Is that a legitimate excuse? Any more information on static cameras sending out, well, they're not sending them out, but identifying cars that aren't taxed and then, of course, letters being sent out. Two listeners so far have been done in that regard. All right, okay. Small farming businesses is on the way out, just like our small fishing industry operations. It's all about big enterprise and investors. Well, The fishing industry and the farming industry are pushing back. They're not going to accept it. They perhaps see that that's the direction of traffic, and they're saying, hold on you a moment here. We're not going to accept that, and we feel that organisations that represent us aren't making that point strongly enough, I presume. So that's why that meeting's taking place in Athlone. A caller says, all our TDs and ministers away for St Patrick's Day, but Bertie Hearn's staying at home to keep an eye on our finances. Good man, Bertie. In safe hands. Did any listeners see the spat yesterday between a Fine Gael government minister and opposition TD accused the minister of smirking while he was making his point? I watch Oireachtas TV, and smirking from the government side, especially Fine Gael, in my opinion, is visible as some form of upmanship. I wonder, are they advised to act like this? Nothing surprises me anymore. But listen, okay, I get where you're coming from here, but I try and be fair. The government politician might feel that maybe the opposition politician is playing, you know, political football or something. The smirk might not necessarily be to trivialise the issue in question. It might be as if to say, come on here, you know, what would you do different if you were over on my side or something? But yeah, I get you. You need to be aware that the camera's on you all the time. On our way home from Letterkenny yesterday, I too noticed a lot of roadside rubbish. Within minutes, an open back lorry passed us with a load of wooden pallets wrapped in cling wrap, and it was shedding with the force of the wind. While in transit, I saw a chunk of it fly off and flew away into the backflow of the lorry. It made me say to myself, this is only adding to the problem, I guess. Not blaming any one person, it's a collective problem. All right, Fidama, thank you for that. Why can't council people, when filling in potholes, etc., grab a black bag and collect nearby rubbish? What about people on employment schemes? Like, this is, I understand where you're coming from, right? But we are expecting, people are dumping stuff out of their car because they can't be bothered, right? There is an argument about the cost of disposal. I get that, but come here, you know, they're doing it because they don't care. Let's be truthful. So rather than sort of target them, we pay people who are on back to work schemes or whatever money to go and pick up their rubbish. I'm not sure that, you know, that's not fixing the problem. Caller says, vaping inside is becoming a problem now. I hate the thought of inhaling the residue from this. Back to rubbish here. Perhaps if signage was reduced, that would be a place to start. Many of these offer hotels, bars, restaurants and other tourism businesses, some far from their immediate area of operations. Regards. It's tough old business. I don't mind those signs. I know what you're on about. And I think signage into Letterkenny one time was flagged as a negative in an eyeball survey. But I don't know. It's a tough old business out there at the moment. I wouldn't begrudge someone a sign. But anyway, that's just me. Me feeling that doesn't mean you're wrong. You're right, because that's what you feel. Less signs and you'd think the place would look prettier. For me, it's an okay sacrifice. But we're all different and all different views. My surgery is now charging €20 for blood tests to medical card holders. Can they do this, Kay? Yes, they can, dependent on what they're for. And I hope I'm getting this right in my memory, Kay. If they're for diagnostics, right? So if you are saying, right, I've got this problem, and the doctor goes, right, okay, well, this might show up in your bloods, they should be free, if I understand it correctly. If you're saying, look, can you check my bloods just for routine checking my bloods, then that is not free, as far as I'm aware. If I remember correctly, blood tests for a diagnostics of a I think it has to be of a certain level of something as well. Does it have to be a chronic illness as well? I'll have to double check, Kay. But not all blood tests are covered by the medical card. So unfortunately, no good news for you in relation to that. I want to mention again that a Letterkenny Hospital campaign meeting is taking place tomorrow night. In Dillon's Hotel at 7:30 p.m. The tagline is, if you care, please be there. I'll read a little bit of it here. Following on from last month's successful National Day of Action at Letterkenny University Hospital, campaign organisers are inviting all concerned individuals who signed up and those who have an interest in becoming involved to come along to the group's next meeting. It's at Dillon's Hotel, as I mentioned, tomorrow night, 7:30. All are welcome on the night, especially reps of staff and patients and public representatives to help plan the next steps for the hospital campaign. Okay, so over the last day or two, we've been talking about illegal dumping. And then by coincidence, someone texted in a little earlier today talking about signs and how signs are a blight. Some are okay, they're legit. Others are illegal. But it seems to be a problem recognised in Moville. And Aoife Gillen is Secretary of Moville Tidy Towns and joins us now. Hi, Aoife. Good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. Thanks for having me on, and thank you to your listeners.
No, it's our pleasure. Right, okay. So, obviously, we wouldn't be talking about it if there was a sense that illegal signage is a problem around Moville, Aoife.
That's correct, Greg. And it's not just Moville. It's all over the county. Some of your listeners may not be aware, but Donegal County Council, they actually have a policy on authorised advertisement signs. And obviously, it applies to Moville and the whole of Donegal. So, we just really want to highlight that, and it was actually highlighted by the Tidy Town adjudicators in the last report. So we're really appealing to businesses and residents just in and around the town to help us with decluttering as such of these advertising signs.
Now, obviously, and I mentioned just before the break there, you know, it's a tough time for business. Many might be struggling, and this might just be the competitive edge they need to keep the lights on and to keep local people employed. Are those also the types of signs are we talking about, or are we talking about old tatty signs that are no longer relevant?
You're right, and we know it is a tough time for business, so it would be great if businesses could look maybe at alternative ways to advertise, so from social media and newspapers, and sure, even on Highland Radio, you know, instead of these signs. But we're not referring to the permitted signs. So Donegal County Council does have a permit kind of policy in place where if you do want to advertise, you can go down that road. These are more the, you know, you see them along the lampposts and they're bolted up and things like that coming into the town. It's those signs that we're referring to. And you're right, some of them are getting really tatty looking. Others, you know, maybe they might not even be in business anymore. So that's the kind of things that we're trying to address and really trying to reach out to businesses and the community as a whole to support us on this.
Yeah, well, I don't. I never understood why we into towns like Mayville, Letterkenny, Donegal Town, wherever it might be, where the council have an actual maybe a nice digital sign, a one sign that can be shared space or can be there, you know, that the businesses can avail of, and then really crack down on the signpost signs. But then it levels the playing field, you see, because if I run a, I don't want to pick it. I'm going to say a random business. Say I have a bakery, right? I don't think there's multiple bakeries in Mayville. So say I have a bakery and you have a bakery, Aoife, and we've both got two signs up. Really, we're both going to need to take the signs down, aren't we? Because if I take mine down and you don't, you get a competitive advantage. So this requires a buy-in, I think, from all business. But I would love to see a logical alternative put in place, maybe some sort of a digital sign that it rotates on, you know, something that's pretty but in a visual spot. Do you know, in other words, let's say we've got a problem, we need a solution, but also try and think outside the box a little bit.
You're right, Greg. And actually, in most towns and villages throughout Ireland, there's fantastic information signs for tourists, and they offer these advertising in like one central location. So that's something to really look into, you know, the power of social media, you know, your regular newspapers, all of that. We definitely want to encourage businesses to look outside the box. And one town in particular, a neighbouring town that we really look up to, is Malin, who, you know, they're famous for their tidy town competition results. They have a very strict policy on these advertising signs. So we want to kind of follow suit, but at the same time, respect that businesses need to advertise and look at alternative ways that they can do that in the local community.
Because I do understand what you talk about when you talk about, you know, social media, Highland Radio newspapers, websites. I get that, but particularly, I think coming into the summer, there's a passing casual trade. You know what I mean? And it's that's when you sort of pay your bills for the winter in many cases. So that does. I just really do feel there needs to be alternative. Are you asking at this point, Aoife, for businesses to hear you and do this voluntarily, rather than sort of saying, right, County Council, you need to crack down on this? Is it a softly approach initially?
Yes, we'd like to educate and engage with local businesses and residents, help us keep the place looking well. And so what we're asking is if they could remove any of the illegal signage that is already in place and then refrain from adding any new ones. But as you said earlier, looking at alternatives, so from, you know, them central advertising locations within the town to maybe like the post office, to the local stores, things like that, where we get a good influx of people, and looking at, you know, doing things in an alternative way and a more eco-friendly way as well.
Okay, well, I mean, as you identified, it's narrow margins when it comes to Tidy Towns adjudication, and, you know, there's incredible competition right across the county and the country, and it's these little deductions that really, I suppose, if you're involved in the Tidy Towns, you can feel like you're banging your head off a brick wall. So that, I presume that's the motivation here.
It is, but it's not just for scoring points on the Tidy Towns report. You know, ultimately, we want the place looking well. We want tourists to come back. So we see that there are multiple benefits to the local community in making the place look well. So this is just one element that we're looking at. And I would like to thank the local community and local businesses for their ongoing support in this regard. And just a shout out, we have recommenced our weekly litter picks and gardening and general tidying of the town. So we're always looking for volunteers as well. Even if it's just keeping outside your own business or your own house tidy, it does go a long way, Greg.
Aoife, finally, have you noticed any trends in littering? Is it worsened at all? Because in other parts of the county we've been discussing over the last wee while, people seem to be more inclined to dump illegally. Any trends like that in and around the beautiful Mayville?
Yeah, one issue, and we're really going to focus on it as well this year, is the amount of dog mess along our beautiful shorefront. So we've often been, you know, we've heard from tourists that the front shore, the green, is the gem of Mayville. But we've really appealed to dog walkers, you know, not everybody. I'm not tarring everybody with the same brush. I have four dogs myself. But if everybody could just be responsible and clean up after their dogs, that's one of the main issues that we're having right now. Mm. You do get the odd fly tipping issue as well. And over the green, you know, we do our Saturday cleanups every morning. But if we could all just pull together and concentrate in those kind of hot spots, that would be the main one.
Yeah, and I'm glad you recognise that. I think it's a very small percentage of irresponsible dog owners. And you know, it's a tough old space to own a dog at the moment because, you know, everywhere you turn, there's bad stories about dogs. But it's a minority, a very small minority. But a couple of dogs over the course of a week walking every night can put a lot of poo in along the way. So, Aoife, listen, keep up the great work, you and the crew at Mobile Tidy Towns. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Greg. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Have a lovely Wednesday. All right, that's Aoife there. She's right. Just look at signs for a festival that runs in the summer. They've been up since last year. How come these are ignored? And as I said, the event is only on in the summer. I don't know, but it's just a severe lack of enforcement. I'm sure everyone's up to their ears. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff could be resolved just with a few letters, a bit of enforcement, people out and about in the streets. While I agree with them, we have to be fair to businesses, especially new businesses trying to get established. They need these signs. And I hope you understand that I recognise that as well and tried to put that point of view across, not only in that interview, but also in a following on from a previous text. It's a tough time to make business. And not every business has the resources to advertise either. All right. You know, I like my air fryers. Some people say Ninja are the best. Lots of people say Ninja are the best. They are incredibly, incredibly popular. How would you like to win a cracking Ninja air fryer? It's a big one too. They're a great way to cook. Saves putting the oven on. You can do anything in them as well. Whatever you want to do, you can do. And you cook in less time. Brilliant stuff. I'm a big fan of them, as I've said before. We've teamed up with Irwin Expert Electrical. I've dealt with them before, a lovely company. For this fantastic giveaway, we're giving one lucky winner the chance to win the much sought after Ninja 9.5 litre foodie air fryer. You need the big literage, you know, because it's no point getting a small one. I'm trying to feed the whole house on it. So this is a biggie. It's 9.5 litres. All you have to do, you have to do nothing except head on over to Instagram. Our Instagram page is Highland Radio Donegal, and you follow a couple of simple steps, which are for you on Instagram. Winner will be announced on Wednesday the 15th of January over on the Instagram channel. So get on over to Instagram at Highland Radio Donegal. And the steps there as to how you can win that Ninja 9.5 foodie air fryer. Kieran, you're a healthy enough old fella, aren't you? Do you use an air fryer yet?
Less than old. No, I don't actually, but I heard
I didn't mean it like that.
I heard you chat about it before.
Well, I've been banned from speaking about them.
Have you?
Yeah, because apparently I'm too enthusiastic.
Well, the ban has been lifted for this morning.
Well,
so
it was lifted when all of a sudden Katie got an air fryer.
Right.
And she thinks it's the best thing ever, but it was me told her. And then there's other people.
I'm extremely curious, so I'll just have to satisfy my curiosity and probably buy one.
Well, save you a fortune. Save you a fortune. Cook quicker. Healthy food, no fat. All drips away. All right, anyway, win one. The Ninja Air Fryer. It's the much sought after 9.5 litre food air fryer. All you have to do is head over to the Instagram page at Highland Radio Donegal. Follow the steps there and the winner will be announced on Wednesday the 15th. That's today. Later today. Sean, what time is the Caroline, what time's the air fryer being given away at? It's this evening, is it? 3, 4, 5? This evening. Right, you don't have long. You've only got 4 hours to get onto Instagram and get involved in that competition. Right.
Business Matters, in association with ATU Donegal's Faculty of Business. If you're an owner or manager in a food production business, consider the new one-year Level 8 Higher Diploma in Food Business and Product Innovation. It's just 1 3-hour lecture weekly. Call 918-6600 or email gary.mcgill@atu.ie.
Okay, Business Matters podcast live for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com, or on Spotify or iTunes. It's presenter Kieran O'Donnell in studio with us now. Good morning, Kieran. Thanks so much for joining us
again. Good morning, Greg. Good to see you.
How was your week?
Very good.
Excellent. Okay.
Very good. And yours?
Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. You know yourself. Dragging the devil by the tail.
Yes. Like the rest of us.
Isn't that what they say?
Like the rest of us.
Running down the clock. Right, okay. Let's get some news. A new workshop series has been launched.
Yes, yesterday morning, Greg, over 40 micro businesses and sole traders from around Donegal started the first of 3 workshops, and that is to help them better understand their finances with award-winning accountant online.ie CEO, Larissa Feeney. So they're undertaking the course with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service in partnership with Donegal Women and Business Network. So good to see local agencies collaborating there for the local businesses, Greg.
Yeah, for sure. Progress being made on a new innovation centre.
Yeah, a big news story earlier in the week, Greg. Contracts for the design and development of the Letterkenny 2040 Strategic Urban Regeneration Site, which will include the new Alpha Innovation Centre and Beta Business Centre, were signed yesterday. So these centres, which will be funded by the Border Enterprise Development Fund, administered by Enterprise Ireland, are expected to play a key role in attracting and stimulating investment and employment. So these centres are going to be built, Greg, on lands between Pierce Road and Port Road. I think it's behind where the old ESB offices were.
I haven't a clue what you're talking about.
As far as I know.
I don't mean that facetiously.
Across from the theatre, up on the left.
What pub's it close to? No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I do know where you're on about with it.
The Pulse, probably the nearest.
Oh, right, I know where it is now.
Up on the left. And there.
Hey, come here. I like this. Talked about St. Patrick's Day's parade because it means we're heading into the spring and the longer evenings and the brighter mornings.
A timely reminder of the season.
Sometimes when you start talking about Christmas in October and you go, oh, come on. It's nice to talk about St. Patrick's Day.
Very much, Just a shout out, Greg, from Letterkenny Chamber to community groups, schools, bands, companies and businesses who would like to be part of this year's parade to get in touch with the Chamber, and they can do so by emailing info@letterkennychamber.com or telephoning 07491 248 66 for an application form.
It's a great thing to get involved in, a great thing for groups and schools and bands, but it's a great way for businesses and companies, and I hope they realise it as such, to put their wares out there on show and, a bit of innovation there as well. It can give you the wee competitive edge. You know, I hope people still see it for that.
Yeah, I suppose you've
got
a bit
old school, right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing, it's effective.
Yeah, you've a big audience, I suppose, out of sight, out of mind, or unsight in mind is probably the case when it comes to the parade and the floats and et cetera.
I wonder, are they still allowed to throw sweets from? Because I would say health and safety, you know, you don't want to get orange chocolate in the eyeball.
They'll place them in your hand, I suppose, to throw them at you, but you still get the sweets, Greg.
Health and safety gone mad. Anyway, listen, it's going to be a great day, as it always is, and there's the fantastic parades right across the region, which we'll be highlighting, of course, as we edge ever closer. National award for a local photographer. This is Stevie Toy. I've worked with Stevie, right? And I'm only saying this because, you know, we're a local community, aren't we? We're local people. And Stevie was a pleasure to work with. So I'm delighted to see Stevie being recognised.
Yeah, well, he's been rewarded for his good work, Greg, as you say. Stevie has been named Irish Wedding Photographer
of the
Year.
Wasn't a wedding,
now. Okay. At the 2023 Irish Wedding Awards. So the awards recognised exceptional specialists and suppliers that go above and beyond to ensure the uniqueness of every wedding. And Stevie, as you say, is a well-known photographer and graphic designer and owner of Logo Picks.
Yeah, and as I say, I have no personal relationship with Stevie, and I'm sure there's loads of other photographers, but once I'd worked, he'd worked with us just to recognise that. Okay, this is a toughie now, I don't really know if the government have figured out what they're going to do about the hospitality VAT rate, but listen, those in the industry aren't happy about it.
Yeah, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has indicated that a decision on the hospitality VAT rate is likely to be made by Cabinet later this week. So the 9% VAT rate for industry is due to expire at the end of the month, Greg, and industry locally has expressed concerns about the negative impact a return to the 13.5% VAT rate could have on
What do you do about that, though? Because, you know, obviously, we know what the gouging that goes on right down the country. You know, if there's a concert planned or organised or a football match or a boxing match, prices go through the roof. And it's not just the last one or two rooms. It's across the board. Now, it doesn't happen, I don't think, as much here in the Northwest. There's still good value to be had. But you look at the industry and what it does to its customers with those government supports. If I were making that shout or that call, I would say, right, okay, we need to put something else in, maybe, that doesn't reward people for their bad behaviour, but also does support businesses that are genuinely, you know, just trying to keep the head above water and to support local employment. I think they need to come up with a different way of thinking about it, Kieran, because as I say, I really don't want some of these businesses down the country particularly to be rewarded for what they do to the public.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way of looking at it, Greg. The other way of looking at it is the likes of Paul Diver there from the Sandhouse, who's the Donegal spokesperson for the Federation, Irish Hotel Federations. They see it as a possible sort of hammer blow to an industry that's still recovering.
I get that.
So what the right or wrong is, I don't know. The fact that they're sort of still sort of pushed it down the road a wee bit.
Even if the supports were profit-linked, yeah. right? So if you are a Dublin hotel, and I, you know, there's some not all at it, don't get me wrong, but if you're a hotel or a business that for no good reason's charging €8 a pint or, you know, €15 for a sandwich and a bottle of water, or if you're tripling your prices just because a football match happens to be on. You know, if they looked at it and said, they have all the accounts, all the lodgings are made every year, they targeted the supports or the deductions based on good business practice. You know, don't it's like in business or in a company, if you reward the people that are bad equally to those that are good,
yeah.
well, then those that are good lose interest and go somewhere else. And I just think they could look at this in a different way, whereby they are supporting the businesses that are just trying to recover, like you say, but not rewarding those that are shafting us at every opportunity. Yeah. Kieran, but it's above our pay grade, but I would just like to see something a little bit different. What do you think, listeners? 086 60 25,000. We're both very sympathetic, Kieran, to local businesses. We get that, but you know, I think we know.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing, Greg, is how much of that increase has been passed on to the customer when it's an effect anyway. And then is that the reason that people and businesses in the south will say, look, it's too much in this, we're going to lose people? But if it's across the board, they're going to have to pay it anyway. So
yeah,
it's
exactly right. Okay.
Hopefully it'll work out for the industry as well.
Yeah, now I recognise, you know, that food and drink, I don't believe this applies to, and I did reference food and drink, but yeah. I'm on about as part of an overall business, yeah. in areas where,
but
it's
their
clear.
Argument would be that it's all encompassing.
Yeah.
If it's a fixed wedding or a dinner dance or a pint or a night out or a function, that's going to be affecting the price regardless.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Right, that's the news. Thanks very much for that, as always, Kieran. Let's get on to the contents of this week's Business Matters. Who's your guest?
Yeah, I'm joined by the founder of Donegal Natural Soap Company in Glenties, Isabel Sanger. Isabel began making soap for family and friends, Greg, and set up her company in 2010. She's always searching for new Irish ingredients to use and promote in her product range, which currently stands at 35. A graduate of aeronautical engineering, she also holds a master's degree in bioengineering. And during our conversation, I asked Isabel, when did she decide to make a business through her soap making?
My husband's an accountant, so when I, you know, started to think about possibly wanting to go into shops, he said, Isabel, you have to do your market research. So he, you know, I put a couple of samples together, I packaged them. You know, it had a bow around it, and I went off to shops actually just around Letterkenny, and I also looked at what was on the market. Was there other Irish products? Where was my niche? So there really wasn't a huge amount of Irish handmade soap then. This was back in 2010.
Did that make up your mind to go for it then?
Yeah, well, the feedback from the shops and the pharmacists and the health food shops that I went into was, yes, definitely, you know, a niche for this product, and they would have definitely taken it on. So that really made me go away and feel confident. And, you know, I also asked questions about packaging, size of the bar, price point. I got really valuable information from that research. So it was very valuable.
All right. Fascinating conversation by the sounds of it, Kieran.
Yeah, Isabel, she started, as I said in the interview, making soap.
Could you stop clicking the pen?
Making soap for
this desk here now.
For her family and friends, and decided back in 2010 to give the business a go. She started small and she scaled up the business in terms of what the time she's able to manage to give to the business. She has four children, and they're getting a wee bit older now, and you know, she's taken it in stages. So, very interesting.
Yeah, and a really attractive business and product, because a lot of people want that natural, different skin sensitivities and what have you, but also sourcing Irish ingredients,
yeah.
Leaning on her degrees and stuff.
Supporting local as well. So a lot of her products contain a lot of locally sourced ingredients. And she's also a member of the Donegal Designer Makers. And I suppose being her own boss, she's got the flexibility of being able to give time to the business and still being able to give time to the family.
Brilliant. The full interview with Isabel is available to download now or stream from our website, highlandradio.com, or Spotify or iTunes, and also popular on a Sunday evening, Kieran, on the radio.
Yeah, after the 6 o'clock news, Greg, on Sunday evening.
And if anyone wants to get in touch with you,
drop an email, businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
All right, Kieran, listen, thanks as always. Look forward already to seeing you next Wednesday. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Business Matters, in association with ATU Donegal's Faculty of Business. If you're an owner or manager in a food production business, consider the new one-year Level 8 Higher Diploma in Food Business and Product Innovation. It's just 1 3-hour lecture weekly. Call 918-6600 or email gary.mcgill@atu.ie.
All right, you're welcome back after that very short promo there. The traffic wardens in towns, they have them handing out fines for no tax as well. Yep, I think everyone knows about that. I think everybody knows about that. It's just the fact that some people are claiming the speed vans are tagging them. Again, we've had no official confirmation, and it possibly could be that the car was parked somewhere and it was a traffic warden or other. But I think if traffic vans are actually doing this now, it'd be good to know officially. Are they sure they didn't get booked somewhere when the car was parked? That's the alternative, you see. That's why I'm suspecting that maybe... I don't know how it would work. Good morning, Greg. I just wish to say thanks to the HSE Scally Place outpatient staff. Friday afternoon last, I attended for an appointment. From Donna at reception and nurse, my experience was positive. Three, perhaps four clinics going on at the same time, so the waiting area had a constant change of patients in it. As doctors passed by the waiting area, it appeared to me that although in some cases their first language wasn't English, their friendly smile and acknowledgement to each of us waiting was quite noticeable, and for me, made my visit more pleasant than expected. Thanks, Kathleen. So nice to pass that on, Kathleen. And we are always more than happy, by the way, to shine a positive light where you want it shone as well. A caller says there's a lot of foreign beef being used in Ireland at the moment. Restaurants and shops selling beef should be stating where the beef is coming from. There are some who sell it purporting that it is Irish beef when it is not. Where is the traceability for this? There should be regular checks on this, and there does not appear to be. But how do you know it's foreign beef being sold under the guise of Irish beef? Some companies, I think, you know, the likes of McDonald's, make a big play and a selling point that they use Irish beef. I've seen signs in other restaurants that say it's Irish beef. It's a big charge to say, though, that some are mis-selling their beef. Like, how would you know that? Do you work within the industry? Let us know. 08660 25000. Can the trees that are overgrown on the approach road from Greencastle to Maville that are blocking out the view of the foil also be cut down, I think they're saying, or trimmed? Also, cutting out people using the top path on the green. The trees are badly overgrown. Cheers. Okay, that's in the Maville area. Maybe that's something the Tidy Towns or a local councillor might take up. Apparently trees blocking the view of the foil and also interfering with a path. Caller has been trying for 6 months to get a street light at a zebra crossing in Manor Cunningham fixed. He's been in constant contact with the county council, who keep assuring him that it will be fixed, but it's still not fixed. I wonder, is that a TII problem? Maybe if it's on a main route, it could be Transport Infrastructure Ireland that you need to get onto, may I suggest, respectfully. A query re the roundabout at Letterkenny Shopping Centre, which is the correct lane when you're coming from the old Aldi side over to Pierce Road. No one seems to know there should be and crossing over each other all the time. It's very confusing and will cause an accident. Right, okay, my understanding is, I'm not sure it's different for this lane, but if you're turn off, if you're exiting the roundabout before as the clock strikes 12, i.e. directly in front of you, then you use the left lane. So my understanding would be that the right lane would be for going up the town or coming back the way past the shop that you mentioned. And the left lane would be for the shopping centre out the Derry Road, let's call it that. And then the Pierce Road, I think you referenced it, yeah. So I would say the left lane. Now, unless it's signed otherwise, I don't know. I don't really use that road that much in that way. But my understanding was, unless it's signed otherwise, that if it's 12 o'clock or before, you use the left lane. If it's 12 o'clock or after, unless otherwise indicated, it's the right lane. I think there's some N15s or N14s written on the road. I haven't a clue, man. I didn't build them. How am I supposed to know which one is which? Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. 086 60 25,000. Look, that's where we have to leave it for another day, unfortunately. But the good news is we're back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. For me, Greg Hughes, and Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the programme, we shall chat to you tomorrow morning at 9.